And I don't want to be the best at all of it. I want to find people that can really thrive in those positions that are really good at managing people kindly.
Welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace, where we discuss real-time workplace issues with experts to get you the best solutions for your company. I'm your host, Carol Schultz, longtime executive coach and professional recruiter and best-selling author. Let's get into it.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Evolving Your Workplace. I'm Carol Schultz. Today, we're getting into the challenges that come with being a young person in the workplace. How young is young? And what does reverse ageism look like? For the conversation today, I have Carson Wagner here with me, founder of Lifetime of Love Nannies. Carson, I'm really glad to have you here. It took us a while to get on this call. Can you tell our audience a little bit about you and your story?
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for having me, Carol. It definitely took us a while, but we did it. We're here. So I am based in Reno, Nevada, and I started my business, Lifetime of Love Nannies, back in 2019, right before COVID. I was 19 years old. I was in college at the time, didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do something I was passionate about. But what is that? Every 19-year-old may ask themselves. And I dropped out of college, started my business, and I have been running Lifetime of Love for the past almost 6 years now. It's crazy to think it's been almost six years. And we have three different locations. We're franchising, we're growing, and we lead just the most wonderful team of women. And yeah, it's been a phenomenal journey. That's a little bit about me.
How did you come up with this idea that this is what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I was in college, as I mentioned, and previously to college, one of my first jobs in high school was working with adults with autism and different special needs. And I didn't even know what I was applying to, honestly. I was just mass applying to every job I could as a high schooler. I just needed a job. And I ended up getting hired for this one. I didn't even know what in the world it was. I showed up my first day and I was like, I love this. I loved every aspect of it. And so I knew that was a big passion of mine. So I ended up becoming a behavioral tech, a registered behavioral tech to do behavioral therapy for kiddos with autism. And I was doing that throughout college. And I just realized there was such a massive need in my community for, first of all, 24/7 childcare. We had zero 24/7 childcare options. And we are a mini Vegas, which is insane to think. There's so many people that work around the clock, but there's no access to childcare around the clock. And so that just really sat with me as a why we need this in the community. And then paired with, there's not a whole lot of resources in Nevada specifically for special education and in-home help. And so many families need it. It's a community that really needs it the most. And I saw there was a lot of state funding options that were just sitting there and nobody was touching. And so that's why I had dropped out, started my business. My big mission and vision was to be accepting to all children of all capabilities and be the one-stop shop that's 100% customizable and 24/7 for families and their childcare options. So yeah, that's why I started it. And it really was the passion for special education in the beginning that was my why for starting. And then I just diversified over the years. You know, I mean, families are putting their trust in us already for their most precious thing in this whole world. We already have that trust aspect. We might as well diversify and do newborn to senior care. So that's what we currently do. We do full spectrum from day one all the way up to, 100 years old.
That's really fantastic. You know, and I do want to point out, and I've said this in the past, that, you know, when I always ask founders kind of where their idea comes from, it's typically to fill a need, right? And to your point, you know, we're a mini Vegas and there's like no childcare options here, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And so you have really filled a need for people, which is wonderful. So when we initially talked, you had talked a little bit about, you know, how young you were and your prospects, clients would say to you, you know, what do you have any business being in this business, right? So like how young is young, right? And, you know, should we say post-college to 35? I mean, what does that look like? And in what ways, you know, did you experience this, what I would refer to as sort of reverse ageism?
Yeah. How young is young? You know, when I was 19, I think that was very young. And as I had mentioned to you previously, Carol, you know, I really struggled in the beginning. And I think one of the biggest factors of it is I just didn't have any experience. And so it was really hard for me as a entrepreneur and a business owner to trust in my abilities when I didn't even necessarily know what those abilities were. And I feel like over the years, I've been able to trust in my abilities to the point that if everything was to fall and crumble now, I know that I am capable of doing this again. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be as hard as it was the first time. But in the beginning, I mean, this was seriously my everything. And so anything that anybody said about it was a personal attack to me, or that's at least how it felt, because I just cared so much and maybe a little bit too much where, you know, if the service wasn't for them, it meant I wasn't for them. And it really was hard, especially being a total people pleaser, to go through that and to learn how to not take things so personally. And when I was 19, I don't have any kids, and I didn't obviously when I was 19. And I just remember we had one family. I always mention this story. We had one guy come in. I used to do in-person meet and greets. And so I'd have families come in person. They'd meet me. I'd tell them about the service. And he was really interested in knowing my background and if I had children and did I have a college degree and how many years of experience did I have in childcare, and all valid questions. You know, you want to know how much experience someone has. But I mean, at 19, I didn't have a lot of experience at all, to say the least. And he told me that this was going to fail and I needed to go back to college. And that nobody was going to trust me with their kids. And I just remember, like, I just, you know, fell into a ball in my office, and it was the end of the world. And I was just crying and like, what am I going to do? And I feel like now I'm so grateful for that experience, because I feel like I was like, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. Like once I got over the tears and moved past it was like, I may not be for everyone, and that's okay. And so I think that was kind of the first thing that triggered in my mind that I'm not for everyone, and that's fine. And that's why there's other services out there. I don't have to be the only option, and I shouldn't be the only option. I'm not for everyone. And, you know, I think over the years, especially being 19 and employing, that was a really hard struggle for me as well, as we've talked about, because, you know, I'm employing people that are twice my age. And I always thought, you know, listen to people that are older than me, and, you know, they are the authority. But now the roles are reversed, and it's a different dynamic, a different relationship. And that was intimidating, to say the least. I mean, I did not know how to be a boss. I just didn't. And I was very introverted too in the beginning, that to tell someone something they didn't want to hear, especially if they were older than me, scared me so bad, because I wanted everyone to like me, and I wanted them to respect me. But how am I asking for respect when I'm not doing anything to ask for respect? I'm just doing everything that they're saying, and they're really the boss to the boss, you know? And that was really, really hard for me to overcome. And over the years, I've gotten people in place in my office that know how to manage people a lot better than I do. And so I've kind of taken on my job as a business owner, that my job is to put the right people in place that are better than I am. Then just, I'm not the best at everything. And I know that. And I don't want to be the best at all of it. I want to find people that can really thrive in those positions, that are really good at managing people kindly. Because
you don't need to be the best at everything, Carson.
No, I know.
You need to be the best at what
it, you know,
right. As a CEO, as a leader, as somebody whose job it is to grow the company and scale it. You know, you talk about franchising, right? you have to get to a certain point before you can start franchising effectively.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the audience is leaders here, right? My audience. And for leaders listening, what can they do? Do you believe what can they do to be proactive and prevent some of the things we've talked about? I mean, regardless of what they're doing, right? You know, we have a lot of young leaders or budding leaders that might be listening to this. You know, what's your advice to them?
What I always tell people that are especially starting a business or newer to starting a business is I really think it's very hard to fail if you exchange your 9 to 5 for working for yourself and doing it 9 to 5. You know, like if you're truly putting in the efforts, and one of the things that it's taught me starting different locations is in the beginning, it can be really hard because you don't think you're going to get the leads or get the clients or get the this or get the that. I struggle with that too when I open new locations, always hesitant, like, is this the right place? Is this the right time? And, you know, I think we've proven to ourselves 3 times over and over that as long as we're consistent, we're doing the same thing, we're getting up every morning, we're making sure that we are putting a genuine effort into growing this, like, it's not going to be instant gratification. Like, it's just not. But over time, it will so be worth it. So I just always tell people to put so much time and energy into it that it won't fail. Because I think a lot of people will, you know, kind of put half their energy into it and then take a little bit of time off and come back. And that just does not, from what I've seen, that doesn't grow a business. And, you know, putting in that true time and energy does. And then another thing is saying yes and figuring it out later. Like, I have always, whether it's clients, whether it's the market, if someone comes to us and says, do you offer this? Yeah, we can offer that. We can offer that. And if it's something that fits the business, or if it's even an opportunity of us traveling and doing something, or me going and doing something with different leaders, even if it feels overwhelming, I like to say yes and figure it out later, because I feel like there's so much room for opportunity in this world that I just don't want to miss out on. And I'd rather say yes and instead of say no or be hesitant toward it. And just new opportunities. I'm just always saying yes to new opportunities. I constantly want to learn and grow as a person and as a business owner. And I think just the more opportunities you have to learn and grow with others are huge. Like, having community has been the most beneficial thing for me in my leadership, having community, having mentorship, like that night and day has been huge for my business. Just community. You have to have community.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you were talking about consistency, and you know, that is one of the most important things I think anyone can do, whether it's in just their job as an individual contributor or whether they're a leader, right? I always say that one of the most important things you can do for when you're training a horse, miles and consistency, right? They need that so they understand. And I think, you know, we as humans need that as well. We need that consistency. And that consistency is what, of course, will help us grow businesses, right? There's so many young founders who are just all over the place trying to figure out, you know, what do I want to do? Am I missing anything? And then, of course, one of the most important questions is, when do you decide as a leader that you're going to say no to somebody to be a client? Because so often, especially in the early stages, founders will say, oh yes, they'll just take every opportunity they can. And then they think, what was I thinking? This was a big mistake.
Yeah, I can completely relate to those mistakes because I have made so many of them. And I think for me, realizing, kind of having that realization of, and this was probably 2 years ago. So 3 years into my business, having the realization that yes, clients are interviewing us and clients are making sure that we're a good fit, but we also have the same right. We're interviewing them and we're making sure that they're a good fit. And sometimes they aren't. And I think having to cut a client relationship, it's really intimidating because we want to be grateful for business and happy that people are coming to us and, you know, wanting to help. I mean, that's what we're in these positions for, is we found a niche, we found a need, and we want to help. And having to tell someone, no, I cannot help you, or hey, I think there's a better option out there. It's a bit of a gut punch to me, at least. I really don't like doing it. I'm not the best at it. That's why I've hired people that are good at doing that, because I really am not. I want to please everyone.
Yeah, right.
And I think for me, one of the biggest lessons was we really strive here to under promise and over deliver, because in the very beginning of my business, I was over promising. And then I just could not deliver all of the things I was promising, because it was, you know, they wanted a nanny that spoke, you know, 5 languages and horseback rode on the weekends and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally get you that. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in a pretty small town here. That doesn't exist. And so I think having to manage those expectations and telling clients, this is what you can expect with us. Oh, you want it to be done this way? Well, that's not how our processes are. And these are our processes, and we hope this works for you. But if it doesn't, here's some other places that might be a good fit. I think having that conversation in the beginning can make it so much less awkward than dragging them along and trying to make them happy. Because there's just some people where it's probably not us or the business. They're just not going to be happy. They're just not going to be happy.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's not really, that's wise. And that would be, that's basically what I would say to somebody. I, like I said, I've seen so many people take on clients and wish they hadn't done it because they were desperate, you know, desperate to get money in, or they needed to get money in, or they wanted to get money in, or whatever that was. And when you do that, boy, I can tell you, it almost always turns out not in your favor. You know,
oh, yeah. And that one client is taking up as much time as 10 clients would.
That's right. That's right. And certainly you can never over communicate. So I think that's super, super important when creating expectations for people. And to your point, you know, then maybe we're just not the right fit for you. And that's okay. Because the last thing we want to do is get involved in a partnership with a client and have you not be happy with us.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Carson Wagner, founder, chief bottle washer, that whole thing, CEO of Lifetime of Love Nannies. Thanks for being with me. I've been really looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to Evolving Your Workplace. Is there a topic you want to discuss? Let us know what you think in a review. And don't forget to click follow to stay up to date on upcoming episodes. Thanks again for listening, and see you next time.